Last week we said this, that you know, a lot can change in a moment. A lot can change in just a quick snapshot in life. And for six people, that happened. There were six people that their eternity changed in just a snapshot. And I think we like those moments in life, the moments where we do something great, when we overcome something, when we go through something and make it to the other side, when we overcome the odds. I think all of us enjoy those moments in life, but not all of our snapshot moments, not all of our big moments, defining moments in life are great moments, right? I mean, some of them are heartbreaking. Some of them are painful. Some of them are disappointing. We've all went through some of those moments as well. And even some of the moments that people remember about us aren't our finest times in life. When I was in seventh grade at Scott County Middle School, I was sitting in math class with my friend Dave Willis. A lot of you all know Dave. He comes here and speaks a few times a year. And where we were sitting at in the class was up close to a wall, and there was a row of outlets that ran kind of desk high. And David came up with the idea that one of us should stick a staple in the electric socket, and he thought it would be a good idea if I would be the one that would do that. And so I took a staple, and I stuck it through the end of my eraser, and I gently kind of stuck it in the electrical socket. But nothing happened. So I just kind of stuck it in there. I thought, well, this isn't going to do anything. And then Dave thought it'd be a great idea if we took it out of the eraser and again, me, stick it in the outlet. And so I'll just preface this story by saying I wasn't the brightest student. I wasn't up for valedictorian or anything like that. But I thought, well, what could happen? And so I stuck this staple in the electric socket. And when I did, it sent a charge through my entire body. And then this fountain of sparks started flowing out of this outlet. And when I came to, I looked down and my sock had caught on fire from all the sparks. So I knocked the fire off my socks, and every single light in that whole half part of the school went out completely. Now, Mr. Shelley was a first year teacher, and he never even hesitated. He just continued to teach, and it was like the lights went out, and he just looked around and kept talking, you know, after all of this had taken place. Well, fast forward 25 years later, I'm the pastor here at Grace, and there's this new family that started attending our church, and I was spending some time with them trying to get to know them, and found out that she had grown up here in Scott County, and we were trying to figure out how old we were and maybe if we went to school together, and realized that we did go to middle school together. And when we figured that out, she looked at me and said, "You're not the Andrew Brown that stuck the staple in the light socket or in the electric socket." I said, "Yeah, that's me." Long story short, she doesn't go to church here anymore. I think made her nauseous the thought of coming every week and listening to me tell her how to live her life after that's what she remembered about me, right? And I think some of us, we got some moments in our lives that we wish we could do over, some snapshots. We think, man, I wish that didn't define me. And the truth is, there's some snapshots in my life, some moments that I'm just completely ashamed of. Moments when I've hurt the people that I love the most. Moments I've disappointed myself, disappointed other people. Moments when I didn't live up to the commitments that I made to God, and I wasn't a good follower of His. Some moments, if I could just rewind back, I would love to do those over again. The question is, like, what do we do with those snapshots? What do we do with those defining moments in our life? How do we move forward past them? You know, there's this character in Scripture that I can relate a lot to, because he had some great moments, some moments when he was the hero and he did some great stuff for God. And there was also some snapshots in his life when he was a complete failure. We talked about him a little bit last week. His name is Peter. He's well known, really a large part of the New Testament tells his journey along with Christ and then leading the church after Christ. We read about his story a little bit last week. We're going to pick up a part of his life, a part of his life that he would love to do over, not a really great snapshot. It's actually the night that Jesus gets arrested. There's this mob of people that show up. They arrest Jesus. They go to take him away. And Peter decides that he's going to be the hero. This is what happens in Luke 22, starting in verse 50. You can follow along with us. And one of them, who we'll later find out is Peter, struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. So Peter decides he's going to be the hero. They've came to arrest his leader. And he decides he's going to fight for Jesus. No one's going to take him away without a fight. So he pulls out a sword and he cuts off this guy's ear. Now the reason why he cut off this guy's ear is because the guy ducked, right? Peter was aiming for his head. He ducked and he caught his ear. And Jesus bent down, he picked up the ear. This is where the 5-second rule came from. He bent down, he picked up the ear, he blew it off, and he just stuck it back on the guy's head. And Jesus said, no more of this. You know, the thing I love about this part of the story is we find out something about Peter. Peter wanted to be the hero. He wanted to do something great. He loved Jesus enough that he was willing to risk his life. He was the only one that pulled out a sword and said, you're not going without a fight. And I think that's like how we see our lives. Like, these are the moments we want to have, the moments we stand up and do something different than everybody else. When we stand out from the crowd, we're willing to risk everything to do something great for God because we want our lives to count. So we're talking about these idea of creating snapshots and having these great moments in our lives. These are the moments we want, right? Moments when we're the hero and we step up and we say, I'm willing to risk everything. And this is one of those moments where Peter, even though it wasn't the plan that Jesus had, we see something on the inside of him that he wanted to be great, but things change very quickly. In verse 54, it says, then seizing him, they led Jesus away. They took him to the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. And when some that were there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard, they sat down together, and Peter sat with them. So Peter kind of turns into the spy. He's following at a distance. He's watching them drag Jesus to this man's house. And then they start this fire, and they sit around this fire, and Peter decides he's going to go undercover and just go in and sit among them. And I read this thing like, Peter, what are you doing? Like, you're not a spy. This isn't your role. This is what you're supposed to be doing. This is not the campfire you need to be at. You know, you need to be with your friends, the other followers of Christ. You don't need to be a part of this. I think we could probably all look back at our lives and see this pattern that often when we make some of our worst decisions, often the moments that we get off course, we have some bad snapshots, we're usually at the wrong campfire. We're around the wrong group of people at the wrong place. And we can probably see some sort of pattern in our lives that often we made some of our worst decisions because we were around the wrong crowd of people. Now I'll say this. Some of the bad moments in our life, some of the painful moments in our life were things that were outside of our control. They're just unfortunate. Maybe we were in victims and circumstances. But most of the pain in our lives is a result of our choices. Probably we were sitting at the wrong campfire. That's why it's so important that we really ask ourselves, like, who am I spending time with? Because we talk about this idea all the time here at Grace. The people that we spend the most of our time with will really determine the type of person we become in the future. So it's important to look at your circle of friends, the people you surround yourself with, and say, do I want to be that type of parent? Do I want to be that type of spouse? Are they going in the direction that I want to go in my life? That's why it's really important for me, and I have this scheduled out throughout my month, that I want to be around other people that I want to be like. I like to sit around a table with other leaders who I think are better leaders than me and learn from them and listen to them because I want to be a great leader. I have time in my month when I sit down with people that I would say are more spiritually mature than me because I want to be around them. I want them to rub off on me. It's so important that we surround ourselves with people that we want to be like. And maybe that's your takeaway today. Maybe you can look through Peter's story and you can realize, man, he got in the wrong place at the wrong time. And as you look back to your life, maybe there's a series of people that when you're around them or when you go to this specific place, it always ends poorly. We need to learn from that and realize that Peter was at the wrong place at the wrong time. And I think even as parents, we need to own this a little bit and recognize that one of our primary responsibilities as a parent is to make sure that we know who our kids are around. I mean, I want to know who my kids are riding bikes with in our neighborhood, who they're hanging out with. If they're going to go spend the night with somebody, I want to know those kids. I want to know their parents because I know a lot can change in a moment. There could be some snapshots that aren't good snapshots in their life because they were around the wrong group of people. I understand that they're going to be who are the people they hang out with, so I want them to be around great people and great kids. That's why it's so important that for me as a father, like this summer, my daughter Chapel is going to church camp. It's expensive, but I want her there. It's important to me. I want her at the right place because I know a lot can change in a moment. It's my responsibility as a dad to get her where she needs to be so she can be somewhere where God can move in her life. If I was a parent of a middle school or a high school student, I would make sure that my kids are at the right campfire, they're at the right place, they're down at the barn on Wednesday night so they can be around some people who will influence them. They could be in a situation where a snapshot could happen that could change their life. It's important as parents that we take this responsibility very serious, that we guard who our kids are around and we make sure they're in the right environments because a lot can change in a moment. We get this warning from Scripture in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. It begins by saying, just be very careful. And anytime the Bible warns us and says, be very careful, we should really pay attention. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. The Bible tells us to make the most of every opportunity, to capture every moment, to make every single moment count. It's so important that we realize that moments can change everything. The Bible warns us, be very careful. Because you're at the wrong place, at the wrong time, with the wrong group of people. You can make a decision that can derail your life, that can destroy your family, that can send you down a road that you do not want to go down. So be very careful, the Bible warns us. In verse 56, it says, a servant girl saw him seated in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, this man was with him, but he denied it. Woman, I don't know him, he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, you're one of them. Man, I'm not, Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, certainly this fellow was with him, because he's a Galilean. Peter replied, man, I don't know what you're talking about. And just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. This is one of the most infamous sections of Scripture. Just a few moments before, Peter's the hero. He's got the sword out. He's ready to fight. Jesus isn't going anywhere as long as he can do something about it. And just a few moments after that, he's a coward. In a lot of ways, this is a picture of our lives, though, isn't it? I mean, there are moments that we step up and we do great things for God. We make a difference in our family. We do great things in our community. We're generous. We help other people. And it doesn't take long. We can find ourselves in a situation where we become somebody we don't want to be. And that's who Peter is. That's where Peter finds himself. And there's this snapshot, this moment that in a lot of ways defined who he was. He realized in this moment how broken and how messed up he really was. The story continues on in verse 61. It says, the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the words that Jesus had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you'll disown me three times. And he went outside and he wept bitterly. As Peter disowns Jesus three times, Jesus turns and makes eye contact with him. They exchange a look. You know, a lot can be said in a look. Maybe you grew up in a home where you had a mother or a father could just give you a look, and everything you needed to know was said in that look. You know, my wife, Brittany, she has a look that she can give me, and I fully understand what she's saying with that look. You know, Brittany's a great sport. She allows me to usually get up here on Sundays and tell stories about our kids and about her, and often laughing at her, and she's the butt of some of the jokes. And people will say to me, well, doesn't she get mad? Doesn't she care that you're always up there telling stories about it? And she's really great. Like, she understands that most of my material in life comes from stuff that happens at our house, and she's great with that, but she has a limit, you know? And sometimes I get to that limit, I'll cross the limit, and all she has to do is just look at me. And it's amazing what, like, a glance can say. Like, what I read from it when she gives me that look is, either stop right now or your life's going to be miserable. And I just get that, and I realize, okay, she gave me a look. She didn't need to say anything. I'm going to cut it off right now. So Peter, he disowns Christ three times. The eyes even knew who he was. What are you talking about? I never was with Jesus. And Jesus looks at him. And this is the snapshot. This is the moment. This is the moment when Peter realizes, I am so messed up. And he goes outside and he weeps bitterly. Like, only the kind of tears that somebody like that could cry, you know. When, just think about what Jesus had done for Peter. He picked Peter, of all the people he could pick, to say, hey, I want you to be one of my followers, start this revolution that's going to change the world. One of 12, and actually he was a part of the inner circle. He was part of three that really Jesus invested a lot of his life into. I mean, Jesus thought a lot of Peter. He kind of plucked him out of obscurity where he was just a fisherman, didn't have a lot of purpose in his life, and he made him somebody great. Now Peter disowns him, denies even knowing who he was, and in this moment he goes out and he just weeps uncontrollably. And a lot of us, we've experienced that. We wept those type of tears. Maybe when we realize who we are, we've broken trust with somebody that we care about, damaged a relationship. The type of tears that we cry maybe when a marriage comes to an end, or when we return to an addiction that we'd found freedom from. A lot of us, we've experienced these moments when we realize how broken and messed up and ugly we really are on the inside. It's where Peter finds himself. And this was his defining moment. the moment he would have to remember for the rest of his life. He looks at Jesus just a few hours later. Jesus dies, and it's over. This was going to be their last exchange. This was going to be their last interaction. Just this glance from Jesus to let Peter know, I know what you did. And Peter is going to have to live with this the rest of his life. Like, what do we do when we make a decision that's going to define the rest of our lives? What do we do when we do something that damages a relationship, that's something that cannot be fixed? It seemed like Peter's story was completely over. But God wasn't done with Peter. God was still writing a great story with his life. Jesus dies. 3 days later, some of the early followers of Jesus go to the tomb to pay respects for him, but he's not there. Instead, an angel is there and communicates this to them. He says, don't be alarmed, he said. You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified, but he's risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him, but go and tell his disciples and Peter. He's going ahead of you into Galilee, and you'll see him there just as he told you. I love this. So he specifically says, make sure you tell Peter. Let the disciples know Jesus is alive, but there's one person you got to know that has to know specifically. His name's Peter. Make sure Peter knows. It's not over. God's not done writing his story. The interaction with him and Jesus is not done. God is going to use him to do great things. Make sure and let Peter know. God's still writing the story. And some of us need to hear that today, because we've allowed an event in our past to define who we are. Instead of getting up and continuing on the journey, we just laid down and we quit. And we've allowed this season, this decision, this moment to define our lives. And God is coming to us today and saying, letting you know, it's not over. God is not done with your story. So Peter finds himself, he's back fishing again a few days later and doing what he used to do, you know, kind of feeling like maybe his life was over. They're out in a boat, and John looks up and sees Jesus, and this is how the story reads. In John 21, verse 7, then the disciple who Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. And as soon as Peter heard him say it's the Lord, he wrapped himself in his outer garment around him, for he'd taken it off, and he jumped in the water, and he swam towards Jesus. Peter jumps out of the boat and says, I've got another chance. And he swam as hard as he could towards Jesus. And if you follow Peter's journey from this moment forward, it's snapshot after snapshot of God using him to do great things. Shortly after this, Jesus handpicks Peter and says, you're going to be the first leader of the church. This organization that's been going on for over 2,000 years, Peter was handpicked by Jesus to be the leader of the church. And Peter goes in the upper room. He receives the Holy Spirit. He comes down. He preaches his very first sermon. And 3,000 people sign up and say, I want to be a follower of Jesus. Based on what that guy said, if that's the truth, I want to follow Jesus. And we continue to read through Peter's journey, and we see this man that God used over and over and over again, because God said to Peter, I'm not done with you. One moment, one snapshot, one decision doesn't define your life. You know, but for some of us, we've allowed a moment, a season in our life to define who we are. God's saying to us, it's not over. That doesn't have to define you. I still got great things ahead of you. I created you for greatness. There's stuff inside of you that I put there to help other people, to make this community a better place, to impact this world. But some of us, we feel like our best years are behind us. We've messed up too much. We've gone too far. We're kind of damaged goods. And God's message to you today is, it's not over. If you're still breathing, God's still writing a story with your life. Quit waiting to die. Quit just existing and start living the life that God has for you. Why don't we make the decision this morning that we're going to leave the past in the past? We're not going to allow that one snapshot to define us. We got to know this. God has great things in store for us. Can we all stand to our feet together? And let's make this decision together today. We're going to leave the past in the past. I want you to know deep down in your heart, God's not done writing your story. Whatever you've done, whatever failure, whatever mistake, it's in the past, and God still has great things ahead of you. Would you just bow your heads with me and close your eyes? Would you make the decision today? You're not going to allow that season of your life to define who you are. God's grace and God's mercy and God's love is a lot bigger than that. And when we ask for forgiveness, He just gives it to us. And today He's specifically calling out to us, just like He did to Peter, because He wants us to know our story isn't over. He's still writing it. And I want you here today, God's saying to you, I'm not done with you. I got great things for you. There are snapshots ahead in all of our lives of things that God wants to use us to do to impact people. Jesus, we're so thankful for your grace and mercy that it washes over all of our failures and mistakes. And we could all look back and see things in our lives that we regret. Seasons and decisions that we made that we're ashamed of. God, I'm so thankful that you're so gracious and loving. God, I pray today that we would all know deep down in our hearts that you got great things in store for us. You're still writing our story. Our best moments are ahead of us. Our best snapshots are yet to come. God, I pray you'd encourage everyone here today, those who are discouraged, those who are ready to throw in the towel. God, remind them the great things that you have for them. I pray this week, God, that we would all impact someone's life, that we'd make a difference to the people that we live next to, work next to, the people in our family. God, use us to do something great for you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.